The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Through towns and villages, Jesus went teaching, making his way to Jerusalem. Someone said to him, "Sir, will there be only a few saved?" He said to them, "Try your best to enter by the narrow door, because I tell you, many will try to enter and will not succeed. Once the master of the house has got up and locked the door, you may find yourself knocking on the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us.' But he will answer, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will find yourself saying, 'We once ate and drank in your company. You taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I do not know where you come from. Away from me, all you wicked men.' Then there will be weeping and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves turned outside. And men from east and west, from north and south, will come to take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Yes, there are now those last who will be first, and those now first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Most people don't like to be thought of as narrow-minded or to be called narrow-minded because it suggests a tunnel vision of the bigot who cannot see beyond the scope of his own narrow prejudices. Most like to think that we're broad-minded and we live in an age that favours broad-mindedness. But along with that comes the time when people are finding it difficult to make a total life commitment to any cause or to say forever. And people are always amazed that the Queen still continues, because when she was 21, she committed herself to the nation, to the Commonwealth, and as it was then, to the Empire. And of course that, because within a few years, she would be consecrated, as it were, queen. And she sees that quite clearly. It's forever. It is forever. But as I say, times often think, why don't we give up, or why don't we change, or let's go in some other direction. And of course, broad-mindedness means we're open to such a variety of experiences and choices that the prevailing temptation is to keep all your options open, which means you can't close a narrow door in this sense, because you want it all wide. But the weakness of that comes, of course, from a waste of energy, because we're scattered in so many different directions that, you know, it dissipates our energy. I mean, don't you find that with shopping? There's so much choice. At one time you went to get some eggs, or you went to get some butter, but now you've got to look around and weigh and sort it all out. There's more choice, and that's happened in so much of life. But it brings with it also that sense of a dissipation of our energies. But also, is it also the case that this age also we hear of boredom, inertia, depression, indifference? And that, in a sense, has a lot to do with a lack of commitment to anything of a just purpose in life. And when you've got a just purpose in life, then energy is plentiful. So you see the light in the eye and the spring in the step, and people know where they're going. Well, Jesus knew where he was going. He knew exactly. He was on his way, Luke tells us. He was on his way to Jerusalem. And the whole of this section of Luke that we get now to the end of Luke's Gospel is that journey to Jerusalem. But he wasn't so obsessed with it that he wasn't able to pause as he walked along and take in the people that came to him. So the people came and asked the question. And there's that question tonight, today. And he spoke of the narrow door, entering by the narrow door. But in a way, if you want to focus, you often narrow your eyes. If you think you're trying to focus your camera, you narrow your eyes. You're trying to shoot something in the distance, you narrow your eyes. You're trying to sort of shoot an arrow or something like that, you close that vision. And it can give you a clearer focus on the target. So maybe the narrow door isn't quite as constricting as maybe we think that it will, because it suggests that focus and a purpose, rather than drifting along with the prevailing current or wind. And the question that is asked of Jesus, he doesn't, of course, answer in that way. He doesn't say whether few will be saved, but he does say many will not. So there's a little warning there. But rather than speculating about the arithmetic of salvation, he gives us this practical advice: enter by the narrow door, or try. Do you remember, Cardinal Hume says about trying with prayer? Well, Jesus says, try and enter by the narrow door. The door's not so wide that you can just stroll casually in through the door at any time. It's narrow, and as individuals, you must strive to enter it. I think it's always fascinating, having been twice to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, and it's a very small and narrow door. Certainly, even I have to duck to go under it, so you can tell it's a low door. But it's also quite narrow. You don't go in pairs, you go in through. And there's a symbolism in all that. It used to be much bigger, and there's a reason why it's as it is. But the symbolism is actually quite... And there's a lovely carol that said, here is a little door, here is that narrow door that we enter in, each of us individually, but to the Lord. But he then goes on, the door won't remain open indefinitely. Locking up time will come, and the door once secured, then those who missed the opportunity will not be admitted. So the narrow door has now become the locked door in Jesus' parable. There is explaining things, and the householder then regards them as strangers. And of course the latecomers try to make all their excuses. Well, we ate and drank with you. I mean, you know us perfectly well. You know, we were there, we were listening to you when you were talking in the streets. But the Lord isn't impressed. He's not impressed with superficial acquaintance. He knows that you may eat in the same restaurants, you may read the same papers, you may watch the same programs, but you don't necessarily have the same commitment. And so their pain of being excluded then even becomes worse for the latecomers, because they see the kind of people that have been allowed in. Because there's a little glimpse in, and it says they can see sitting in there Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And of course Jesus can understand that, because as one who came unto his own, and his own received him not, he was treated as an outsider by his own people. And so Jesus has a natural allegiance with the outsiders. Nevertheless, he still calls us along the way with him. And that's what it is. And it's why we're here. We've listened to that call, we've responded, and we've followed him. And in a sense, it's a narrow door. But it involves a living, dynamic, vital relationship with him. And that's what he's saying. And the opposite, which is a cold, distant, dysfunctional relationship, invites from him as they come along, I don't know where you come from. The last few weeks, the Gospels have been almost indicating people rejecting Jesus and then hoping it'll all be all right. Christian salvation isn't about being good or moral or worthy at the end of the day. They're all important, but the basic thing is believing in Jesus, who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life. And through having faith in him,
And God wills that all be saved. He wills all of us to be saved. That's our hope and our prayer, that his infinite mercy will save us. And that's what we fervently pray and celebrate when we're here.